But I was, as I was thinking about Easter this week, and I was reading some of the scripture this morning about the resurrection, the Lord showed me a couple of verses that just kind of just kind of spoke to me. Luke 24:3, I love this verse, and it's talking about the disciples when they went to the tomb. It says they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Isn't that exciting? They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Hey, let me say this. There's been no other religion founded by man whose followers could make that statement right there. All right? They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. I thought that was good. And then Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth. This is Jesus saying this here. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I like that. I'm alive forevermore. And then he says this. He says, and have the keys of death and hell. Amen. And so that's our Savior. That's our resurrected Savior. And I can't wait for the morning service so we can preach about that. But good stuff. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to continue our study in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 2. And so many things that are just, as you begin to read and especially study this book, so many things that just there's jam-packed into this book of Proverbs. And really, almost, it's a little overwhelming, and because there's so many things in this book, and that's why I like reading it every day, and that means I'm going to read it every day, and I'm going to read it 12, each chapter, 12 times a year if I read it a day per month. And, you know, sometimes you just got to reread it, and the Lord teaches you things and shows you things, and I love this book. And so we'll be in Proverbs chapter 2 this morning, and we're going to start by reading the first 11 verses. So let's take a look. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our lesson this morning. Lord, please speak to us through it, and thank you for your word, God, and thank you for how the entrance of your word giveth light. I pray that you'd teach us some things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the breakdown of chapter 2, if you look at it and you want to outline it, okay, it's outlined really into four basic categories here, all right? And I'm going to give those to you. Verses 1 through 4 is the perception that we should have about gaining wisdom. In verses 5 through 11, we find the profit of having wisdom. In verses 12 through 19, we find the protection offered by wisdom. And verses 20 and 22 are the promises to those who live by wisdom. And we're going to take a look at these four different areas, and that's kind of how chapter 2 is broken down in, all right? So if we, once again, in verse 1 through 4, we find the perception, our perception about gaining wisdom. What God says our perception ought to be when it comes to us receiving wisdom. Okay, let's look at those again real quick. Verses 1 through 4. My son, if thou wilt. Now notice here, as we begin to read here, notice the action steps or the things that we are to do. All right. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure. Now notice the action verbs that were mentioned there. Okay, there's several action things. By the way, that's what the Bible is. It's practicality. It's things that we can take and put to practice in our lives. Okay, and I want to stress that over and over because I really believe that. Okay, the Bible isn't just a book that we come on Sunday morning and hear a preacher preach or hear the Sunday school teacher teach out of to make us feel nice and warm and fuzzy inside. Okay, that's not the purpose of the Bible. God gave us the Bible so that we could take it and we could live it out in our day-to-day lives. Okay, by the way, that's what wisdom is. We've already defined that. Wisdom is simply taking the principles of the Word of God and taking them in a very practical sense and living them out in our lives. Okay, so God's going to give us some action steps here. Okay? He's going to say, okay, here's what I want you to do if you really are serious about gaining wisdom. Okay, first of all, we saw this, receive my words. Now, that word receive, it means to accept, it means to carry away, it means to get. Okay, now, in order for us to have wisdom, we must first be willing to accept some instruction. Okay, now, I believe that's why you come to church on Sunday morning. That's why I believe you got up and came this morning to honor the Lord. But you came here to accept some instruction from the Word of God. All right, and I hope that's why you're here. And I hope your hearts are open to accept some instruction by the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I need God to teach me some things through His Word. Okay, you know why? Because I haven't arrived. Okay, and by the way, none of us have, and we never will arrive. We should always constantly be learning and receiving instruction from the Word of God. That is why God gives us spiritual leaders to instruct us. Okay, now, man didn't come up with the idea of the church. Okay, it wasn't man's idea. Okay, having a pastor wasn't man's idea. Okay, by the way, folks, it's God's idea. Okay, the church was the institution that God ordained and God started, and He's the one that set it up this way, okay? And He gave us spiritual leaders to instruct us, okay? And that is what the book of Proverbs is about. It's about Solomon instructing his son. Now, the book of Proverbs is written from Solomon toward his son, but its principles and practicality is for every Christian, okay? So we need to receive instruction. Now, have you ever tried to tell somebody something and they wouldn't even accept what you're trying to say? I mean, you know, you've seen kids do this before, okay? If someone wants to tell them something, they're like, I'm not listening, I'm not listening, I'm not listening. You've seen kids do that, okay? But you know what I'm afraid sometimes we have? I think sometimes church members are doing that when the Word of God's preached. God's trying to speak to us, and our physical fingers may not be in our ears, but you know what we're saying? God, I'm not listening, I'm not listening, God. Now listen, folks, we must condition ourselves to receive the words. Okay, so that's the first step. Okay, if you're going to have wisdom, you must accept or carry away or receive the words. Okay, then the second thing, look what he says here again. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, notice the next thing, and hide my commandments with thee. That's an interesting word, and hide my commandments with thee. What's that mean? Well, that word hide, it means to hoard. It means to favorably protect. It means to lay up. Okay, now I think we all understand what hoarding is. Okay, now some of you might be hoarders. Okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't consider myself a hoarder, but let me just say this. You don't really know if you're a hoarder or not until you try moving. Okay, and then you find out real quick that probably a lot of us are more hoarders than what we really think we are. Okay, but that's what it says there. Hide my commandments with you. It means to hoard. It means to favorably protect. I mean, hey, we all probably have those certain little things, our possessions, that we favorably protect. Okay, I mean, we probably all have those things. Maybe it's a trinket. Maybe for some of you ladies, it's a piece of jewelry. Or maybe for us guys, it's something in the garage or whatever, okay? But what he's talking about here is when it comes to the commandments of the Word of God, okay, we need to go from receiving the words to taking the commandments and hiding them or protecting them. Now, we all know what a command is, right? Okay, a command. Now, a command is a little bit different than just instruction. An instruction is given to guide. A command is given with the intention of being obeyed. Okay, so we go, first of all, from just simply receiving instruction to hiding commandments. That's what this verse is trying to tell us. That when God commands us things, we should see them as valuable enough to protect them and realize God's giving them for our protection in our lives. All right, now, I mean, there's a lot of commands in the Bible. But let me just say this. If we were just to take, for instance, the Ten Commandments, okay? And there's more than that in the Bible. But the Ten Commandments kind of maybe give a summary of the commands of God that mankind should obey. Now, if we were just to take the Ten Commandments, for example, and if we just decided we were going to obey every single one of the Ten Commandments, could you imagine how much better our lives would be if man would just say, you know what, I'm going to obey, I'm going to take the Ten Commands, I'm going to make them important to me. Now, that's a good question for all of us. Do we see the commands of God as important? Okay? Hey, there's not one person whose life wouldn't be what God wanted it to be if they would simply just take God's commands and make them important in our lives. Okay? So that's the first step, receiving instruction. The second step is hiding the commands or seeing those commands as important. Here's the next part of instruction here, verse 2. Look what it says. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Okay, now that word incline thine ear, it means to hear, it means to give heed. It literally means this, to listen to wisdom with your ear, with your physical ear. You listen to wisdom with your physical ear. Now here's another good question for all of us. What are we listening to? What are we listening to? Are we listening to things that are not wise? Are we listening to those things? And by the way, as we study through the book of Proverbs, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see that God thinks it's important to the things that we do and do not listen to. By the way, we're talking very practical principles here. Okay, as we study through here, we're going to see God's going to say, hey, there's certain things I want you to listen to. There's certain things I don't want you to listen to. Okay, I don't want you, I want you to incline your ear or give heed to the things you listen to, but I also don't want you to give your ear, incline your ear to certain things. Okay, so if God wants us to listen to wise things, that means he would not want us to listen to foolish things. Okay, so that's the next step we see there, all right? Let's keep moving here. Look what else it says. And by the way, we could take more time on these, but I'm trying to, we're going somewhere, so I'm just kind of giving you an overview of what they're talking about, all right? Verse 2, all right? And so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and the second part of verse 2 says, and apply thine heart to understanding. Now, that's an interesting phrase when you study that phrase out. Here's what it means. That phrase, apply thine heart to understanding, it means to stretch. That word apply, it means to stretch, it means to spread out, it means to deflect. All right, now note, think about what it's saying there. To stretch our heart to understand. Now, why must we stretch or spread out our hearts to understand? Why must sometimes as a Christian, we must work hard to understand things? Do you realize God has set life up that way on purpose? Not everything in life is just easy, especially when it comes to the circumstances and the workings of life. Okay, you just don't easily just always understand everything, do we? How many times have we all said this? I just don't understand, right? We've said that. Okay, and by the way, God has set it up that way because we're going to see later on in chapter 3 another verse where the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay, so when it comes to wisdom, God wants us to stretch our understanding. How many of you have ever wondered what God was doing in a situation? I mean, come on now, let's be honest. How many of you have ever had a situation in life where you just said to yourself, God, what in the world is, what? Why are you allowing this, God? Why is this happening to me for? Okay, now listen to me. Let me make this statement. Just because we don't understand, does that make God not good or right just because we don't understand? Of course not. God knows what he's doing, okay? And we've got to get to the point in our lives as Christians where every time something happens to us that we don't understand, we take God off trial. You know what the sign of someone who either isn't saved or someone who's a very, very immature Christian is? Every time something bad happens, they want to point an accusation finger to God. God, why did you do this? God, this is your fault, God. You could have stopped this. Listen to me, folks. Just because there's evil in the world doesn't mean God's good. It means there's evil. Remember last week we learned we had an adversary? Okay? And listen, instead of sometimes wanting to blame God for things, why don't we put the blame where it's really due at? Okay? And listen, we've got to apply our hearts to understanding because not everything in life is just easily understood. Some things we've got to stretch our understanding to get, all right? And I'm going to show you later on where wisdom will help us do that, okay? All right, then it says this, verse 3. Yea, here's the next instruction, criest after knowledge. All right, now that word means exactly what it says it means. It means to cry out. It means to call out by name, okay? Now, by the way, are you starting to see the pattern here? God wants all of our being, our minds, our ears, our hearts, our voice, our eyes, to be used in the pursuit of wisdom. God literally wants all of our physical being to be used to pursue after wisdom. I mean, come on, are you like me? And do sometimes many of the things that your ears and eyes and heart, and that word heart is, of course, talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. Do those things sometimes get you in trouble? Oh, yeah, they do, don't they? I mean, hey, folks, if we're going to get in trouble somewhere, if we're going to sin, you know what? We usually use our bodies to sin with. I mean, how many times is sinning a lot of times thoughts that we're not thinking right? Or maybe eyes that we're not seeing things right with, or ears we're not listening right, or we're not using our feet to take us in the right places, of course. Now, do you know what can help us not use our physical bodies for wrong? Is that we can use our physical bodies that God has given us to function in life, and use those things to instead of sin with, to use those things to seek after wisdom with. Okay, and that's what God wants us to do. That's what he's saying here. And if you look at all these instructions, literally he's saying, use this part of your body to search after wisdom. Use this part of your body to search after wisdom. Okay, now, are we going to bat 1,000? Of course not. Are we all still going to use our bodies for wrong? Of course we will. But I'll just tell you this. If you will use your body to seek after wisdom, when I say that, I mean your mind, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet. If you'll use those things to seek after wisdom, you know what? Maybe instead of getting in trouble all the time, maybe we'll get in trouble not quite as much of the time. All right? And by the way, we're always still going to get in trouble, but maybe not as much. You know why? Because we're using our bodies to pursue after wisdom. Here's a good question for us to ask ourselves. Do the thoughts that I run through my mind, are those thoughts that will help me attain wisdom? Do the things I see with my eyes help me gain wisdom? Do the things I say with my mouth and the places I go with my feet, do all these things help me attain wisdom? That's a good challenge question for all of us, okay? And then look at verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure. Now notice here. If we seekest and searchest, those are the next commands, seekest and searchest, all right? Are we to seek after wisdom? The Bible says here to seek after it as if we were seeking after hid treasure. Now, if I were to tell you that somewhere on this property, all right, within this approximately, I'm not quite for sure how many, but around 10-acre complex here, there was a chest filled with gold and a pirate treasure. Your mind's going there, all right? Gold and precious stones. And the first person to find it, it was theirs. Now, if I were to tell you that, you know what? We'd be tearing up this place looking for that treasure, wouldn't we? I mean, we would leave no stone unturned. We would leave no building not scoured through. I mean, we'd be out digging. We'd be out doing anything trying to find that treasure. You know why? Because it contains some valuable things. Now, that should be our attitude when it comes to gaining wisdom. The Bible says we need to seek for it. We need to search for it just with the same passion that we would search for hid treasure. Now, back in the 1800s during the gold rush, I mean, I've read stories about that time when men would give their whole lives to go out west to search for gold. I mean, they would lay it all on the line. You know why? Because they were out there trying to find something that was important, something that was valuable. I read this illustration. I want to read it to you this week. I read this this week, and I want to read it to you this morning. For more than 30 years, archaeologist Howard Carter searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought didn't exist, the tomb of King Tut. Most experts believed that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered, but Carter continued his search. After 5 more years, now think about this. This guy is spending years of his life searching for this. After 5 more years without results, Carter's sponsor, Lord Carnarvon of England, indicated that he would stop funding the research. In November of 1922, during his final session of work, Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramses VI. He sent a cable to England which said, "At last have made wonderful discovery in valley, a magnificent tomb with seals intact." Carter had indeed located the tomb of King Tut, one of the greatest archaeological treasures ever discovered. After months of careful work, the golden treasure of the tomb were cataloged, and the first intact royal mummy ever found was removed from the place where it had been rested for more than 3,000 years. Carter's search was driven by his firm belief that there was treasure to be found. even though he could not be certain that he was correct. And you know what? His desire to find the tomb of King Tut drove him and drove him and drove him until he found the greatest discovery ever. All right, now look, that same passion that the world uses to find things like that ought to be the same passion we as Christians have to search and seek after wisdom. By the way, we have a better opportunity, a treasure hunt. By the way, God gives us with guaranteed success. God says, if you search for it, if you seek after it, you can find it. All right, so what should be our perception about gaining wisdom? Well, we should receive instruction. We should hide the commands, incline our ears to wisdom, apply our hearts to understanding, cry and lift up our voice for knowledge and understanding, and seek and search after wisdom. Now, notice, as I've said before, these are all action verbs, all things we can do to get wisdom. All right, now, the second part of that outline in the book of Proverbs was how our pursuit should be about getting wisdom. Now, let's talk about the profit of having wisdom. All right, so I'm going to take all this time, all this effort, and search after wisdom. Why should I do that? What's the point? Why should I do that? I mean, if I'm going to do this, it's got to be a commitment. Okay, I've got to commit myself to search and seek after wisdom. Why should I do it? What's the profit in having wisdom? All right, well, let's look at verse 5 again. All right, I'll read verses 5 through 11. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. All right, now, notice, if you will, all the verses we previously just looked at said this: my son, if, yea, if, verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver. Okay, if, God says, look, if you decide to do this, by the way, you know what? Choosing to get and live by wisdom is a choice we all must make. Okay, no one can make that choice for you. Okay, you know what? The pastor can't make you want to get wisdom. Hey, you know what? God himself will not force you to get wisdom. It is a choice every single person, especially every Christian, has to make. Okay? And by the way, you know what? You know what the sad fact of life is? Most people don't choose to pursue wisdom. They don't. And by the way, that's their choice. That's their decision. But notice here, man, look at the first word in verse 5. I like this. All right? What is the first word in verse 5? What's it say? Then. God says, if, then. If you do this, then guess what? There's some reward that comes along if you decide to get wisdom. All right? So let's look at the rewards here. Man, I like this. Now, by the way, at first when you read this, it may not seem like that big of a deal. So what's the big deal about this? But let me just say this. Once you begin to understand the rewards and you begin to live a life filled with wisdom, you'll understand the reward of it. You'll know why it was such an important thing to try to attain. Okay? Here's what he says. If you, then God will give you this. Here we go. What's the profit of having wisdom? Well, look what it says here in verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay, now let's think about that phrase for a minute. Understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, we've spent a lot of time previously in the last few lessons talking about the fear of the Lord, okay? But that phrase, find the knowledge of God. Okay, now, that's a very interesting statement there. Okay, by the way, like I said a while ago, remember sometimes our understanding isn't, we don't always understand what God's doing. I mean, we've said that before, right? God, I just don't understand what's going on here. Well, according to this verse, a benefit of having wisdom is having more of an understanding of what God is doing and understand how he's working. Now, does that mean that everything about God we'll know about? Of course not. But it means this, that we can have more of an understanding of God in our lives. That phrase, find the knowledge of God. Man, that's an interesting phrase. As I read through that phrase captivated me. The knowledge of God. Think about what it's saying. That I can find the knowledge of God. By the way, that phrase is only found 8 times in the Bible. Okay? The knowledge of God. Remember I told you before, I told you the book of Proverbs is kind of like a pyramid. And once you enter one room, there's a room. Once you get in that room, there's like 20 doors. And then once you decide to step through one door, you walk into another room with another 20 doors. By the way, that's what Proverbs does. You think you're studying something out, and all of a sudden God shows you something, and you can open a door and take off down that way. All right? Well, let's just for a few minutes open one of those doors. All right? I promise you I won't get lost in that room, okay? But I want you to look at this. All right? The knowledge of God. You'll find the knowledge of God. That's a very interesting phrase here. Romans chapter 11. Flip over there with me real quick, if you will. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. I want to look at this phrase, knowledge of God. This is a benefit of having wisdom. By the way, you know what is so neat about God? God will show you the benefits of having wisdom to try to whet your appetite to pursue after wisdom. God says, look, if you get wisdom, here's some of the things that are going to come along with it. Not everything in life is like that, right? I mean, you know, some things in life, you don't know what you're getting into until you just dive all the way into them, okay? And wouldn't you like to know for sure that you had a 100% sure investment? I mean, you invested money in something, it's going to be a guaranteed boom. You got a huge return. Well, you know what? Most things in life aren't like that, but wisdom is. God says, let me tell you some things you'll gain if you pursue wisdom, if you take the time and the price to get it. Here's what you're going to get, and here's one of them, the knowledge of God. You're there, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Listen to what the Bible says here. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Notice here, there's an exclamation point after that. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now the knowledge of God it's talking about here isn't just a thought that comes into your head that you know God exists. Okay, it's way deeper than that. Okay, it's you, this is what this phrase means, the knowledge of God. It's you knowing some of the things that God knows. Now, by the way, that's not a humanistic statement. Okay, you know why? Because what the Bible tells in the New Testament, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. So you know what God says? God says, I want to give you some of the knowledge that I have in my mind. I want you to have some of that knowledge. Okay, now it's interesting here. Okay, and if you look at the verses we just read there in Romans, you'll notice how deep and limitless the knowledge of God is. And of course, we know that. We understand that. I mean, none of us completely know or understand how God works. You know why? Because his knowledge is, you know, we'll never completely grasp it all. But if I could just have some of that, if I could know literally that the way God thinks, if my mind could think like that, do you honestly know, as a Christian, the benefit of being able to think like God, how that's going to help me in my life? That's going to be huge. I can't help think about Solomon, who authored the book of Proverbs. By the way, Solomon knew what it was to think like God in certain instances. Solomon knew what it was because God gave him that kind of wisdom. Okay, I can't. You remember the illustration of Solomon and his first test we see in the scripture about him putting to test the knowledge of God? Remember that illustration the Bible gives us about the baby there? And the two ladies bring the baby to Solomon, and they both claim that the child's theirs. And they say, the one lady said, well, we both had a child, and this lady rolled over on her baby and killed it, and then she wants to take my baby and claim it as hers. And they brought this to King Solomon. Now, how in the world was Solomon going to know which baby belonged to this woman? They both claimed it, but Solomon used the knowledge of God, the wisdom God gave him, to decide which babies belonged to the right woman. You remember the story? All right, you remember what happened? He said, great, you both claim it's yours, bring me a sword. We're going to take this baby and cut it in half, and you both can have a piece of it. That sounds like this crazy king. But you know what he found out? The woman whose babies it was said, wait a minute, king. She can have the baby. And you know what that told Solomon? And the other woman said, yeah, go ahead, divide it. No big deal. I'll take half. She can have half. That right there let Solomon know, hey, I used the wisdom God gave me to figure out whose this baby belonged to. All right, now listen, folks. Now, thank goodness we don't have to decide those types of things nowadays. But you know what? As Christians, there's big decisions we have to make in life. And I want to know how God thinks about a situation, so that I can live my life the way God would live it if he were here. That's part of the having the knowledge of God. Now, here's what else God says about his knowledge, okay? We won't turn to all these passages. Let me just read them to you. Hosea 4:1 says this, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord," notice this statement, "hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." God had a problem with his people not having the knowledge of God. God had a problem. The Bible word is controversy. Okay, God wasn't real pleased that his own people didn't have his knowledge. Okay, you know what? There's some things that as parents, children just kind of inherit a little bit. Okay, isn't it amazing some of the habits and some of the quirks that your children have that you have and you never taught them to them? I mean, it's genetics. We inherit them. Okay, by the way, we ought to, because God's our Father, we ought to have some of the same things he has. Okay, and part of that is the way he thinks. Okay, listen to me. It bothers God that his people don't know him the way they should. It bothers God that every time our life isn't just the way we think it ought to be. And by the way, he promised us, if we're a Christian, that our life wouldn't always be what we thought it would be. He promised that life wouldn't be a bed of roses. He promised us that. But God is tired of his people when every time our life isn't what we think it ought to be. The first thing many Christians want to do is blame God for that. That bothers God. You know why? Because his children don't have the knowledge of him. Okay? Not only that, God desires for his children to have his knowledge. Hosea 6 tells us this, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." You know what he's telling Israel here? He's telling them this, look, you're all caught up in all your religious stuff. You're doing all these things in the name of religion. You're offering these sacrifices and you're offering all these burnt offerings. But listen to me, Israel. Okay, I don't just want you to do certain things, okay, and just emptily do these things. I want you to do these things and know who I am, but do them as a result of your knowledge of me. And as Christians, you know what sometimes we do? I mean, we get so busy in our religious duties that we just do them like robots, but yet we're not really pursuing God the way we should. Too many Christians are playing the game of church, but not really a true love of God in their hearts. And that's what God wants. God wants all of our service to be him, all of our service for him, done out of a motivation of love for him. Okay? And where's all that come from? That comes from God desiring for his people to have the knowledge of God. By the way, all this is a benefit. It's one of the many benefits of having wisdom. All right, not only that, but big surprise at this point, the devil doesn't want you to have the knowledge of God. Big surprise, right? I mean, the devil does not want you to have the knowledge of God. He doesn't want you to think like God. He doesn't want you to know the things that God knows. Okay? That's what the Bible tells us. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Okay? And Brother Smith, when he was here, used this verse a lot. But notice here what it says. This is the instruction to Christians. Casting down imaginations. And notice this next phrase. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So you know what that tells me? That the devil's going to try to want me to think on things that's going to exalt me above the knowledge of God. He doesn't want me to have the knowledge of God in my mind. Why do you think this is so? Because the devil knows that if you have the knowledge of God, you're not going to be so easily fooled with the things that trip up most Christians. I mean, you think about this for a minute, if you really think about it. You know the devil uses the same things over and over and over, and we're just too dumb to learn from it. I mean, we really are. I mean, the devil doesn't have to have 1,000 things in his arsenal to trip up Christians. He's got about maybe a dozen. And he uses those over and over and over. And we Christians, because we don't have the knowledge of God, we don't have wisdom, we can't understand what's happening in our lives. Listen to me, folks. The devil is the one that tries to cloud our thinking and tries to get us to think things that God doesn't want us to think about. Why? Because he's exalting himself against the knowledge of God. All right? And by the way, if you have wisdom, then wisdom is what will combat that in your life. All right, now, last thing about the knowledge of God is this. The knowledge of God in our lives should always be increasing. We should always be increasing the knowledge of God. By the way, let me say this, and the Bible tells us this. You ought to think more like God this year than you did last year. I mean, think about it, folks. In life, if we're not growing, we're not healthy, right? Now, not this way, okay? All right? I mean this way, okay? Marty was telling me about his grandson this morning, little baby Oliver, who we prayed for, who was born just within the last couple weeks and was born. How much did he weigh, Marty, when he was born? 1 pound, 11 ounces. Now, you know what that whole hospital staff and his parents are concerned about right now? That baby growing. You know what God is concerned about for us as Christians? For us to be growing. Okay, preachers preach this message. He preached it about a year ago. A growing Christian is a good Christian. God, you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to grow. All of us in our lives should be increasing. And one of those things the Bible says we should be increasing in is the knowledge of God. We ought to be thinking more like God today than we did yesterday. We ought to be thinking more like God next month than we did this month. It's very important. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be, notice here, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, notice this phrase, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. So folks, listen to me. That is, by the way, how do I do that? I mean, what do I do to think like God? Well, you know what? You pursue after wisdom. And you pursue after wisdom. You know what you're going to find out? You begin to think more like God. Okay, now I'm not a big advocate of the whole, you know, a few years ago, the whole the bracelet and necklace and all the shoelaces, WWJD stuff. Okay, you know, what would Jesus do? I think the world commercialized on a Bible principle. Okay, but listen to me. You know what? How would God think in this situation? We ought to be asking ourselves that. We really should. Okay, when something happens to us or we're faced with something, you know what question we ought to ask? What does God think about this? But you know what the problem is? You know what most people say? Here's what they say. Well, I think... Well, you know how many times what I thought got me in trouble? Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you think. You know what matters? What does God think? Okay, that's the knowledge of God. By the way, what a benefit of having wisdom that God literally will impart to me some of his knowledge. Okay? All right. Well, I didn't even get through all my notes this morning, but that's okay. We'll pick it up next week, and I pray that you'll think about this week, okay? And pursue after wisdom. I challenge you. Read the book of Proverbs this week. It's very easy, okay? Every day of the week, just whatever day of the week it is, read that proverb for the day, okay? Today was April 20th, and hopefully you read Proverbs chapter 20 this morning. Okay, tomorrow, 21st, read Proverbs chapter 20. And just every whatever day of the month it is, read that proverb. And as you're reading it, ask God, God, the wisdom contained in this book, please impart some of that to me. Please give me some wisdom. All right, very good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to pursue wisdom, Lord, and look for its benefits in our lives. And God, we know that it's available to us, and you promise you'll give it to us, Lord, if we'll do our part. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.